Can I try and explain that to you a little bit? For many, many years, Bob and I would be just like every other couple. We'd have our good days and bad days. We'd argue, and we'd be really happy, really together, really loving. Then we'd go and visit our mom. On the way over to see her mom, we'd have an argument. And I could never figure this out. All those years. And I'd say to Bob, you know, Pat, something very strange here. This is before I had this experience. She said, why? I say, well, every time we got to go over to see your mum, we'd argue.
Why is this?
And she said, oh, you're blaming my mum. I never said anything about her mum. I'm just saying every time we go there, we have an argument. Oh, you're blaming my mum. And off we go. Then she had verification why she should be angry at me. I never said a damn word. Not a word. And this kept going on. And after this experience, we're driving over to see her mum. And off Barb goes again. She goes on to her habit. Now, this is a habit that even though you know it's happening, you can't do anything about it. You are living habit. You know how to pull your husband's little bell. You know how to ring. And he knows how to get you. You know? You can say, oh, I remember 20 years ago, you said, and off it goes. That's when you get really stuck. When you really want an argument and you can't get anything that's happening now, you go back in the past. You know, you go into the old closet and you say, oh, I've got a good one. Then your wife will say, oh, that's nothing. And she opens the drawer to say, remember, oh, here's one, here's one. You know. So you go to the doctor and what does he do? He opens up a whole closet full. That's not the way it works. So anyway, we're driving over to Salt Spring to see your mom, and it happens again. And by this time, of course, I had this experience, and I burst out laughing. And that really made her mad. Because she's quite serious about all this negativity and what's going on, and I'm sitting in the car killing myself. As a matter of fact, I almost crashed the car. I was laughing so hard. By the time we got to the ferry, Bob's really mad at me. And I'm saying, don't you see, sweetheart, don't you see, it's happening again. It doesn't matter why it's happening. And honest to goodness, within half an hour she had it. There's no guesswork. There's no guesswork in true psychology. It's a spiritual fact. You see one spiritual fact, and you have a cure. That's what an insight is. An insight is something that you recognize that you've known all your life, but the only thing, it had been lost in time. And the only reason it's lost in time, we're back to thought again, is the thoughts that have been put in you since birth. The thoughts that you have created yourself through time. That's all it is. It's thought. You see, some people are super unbelievably successful in business. They're beautiful people. They're very smart people, and yet they're unhappy. You know, there's something missing. So to find their happiness along with the success, all they have to do is realize it's that. There's nothing in the world better for me to see than a happy couple. When a patient hears that they could only be 5 minutes away from a cure, that's a lot of hope. Well, you can actually shrink that 5 minutes to 1 second because they're only one thought away from what they're looking for. And these doctors and throughout the world, all these psychologists, psychiatrists, therapists, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to help humanity. A clear mind, this is a state of meditation. This is where the light bulb goes up. The light bulb shines on top of your head. Dingo. And they turn around to the doctor and say, gee doc, thank you, you've really helped me through life. And that again is what makes the therapist feel good. If the therapist feels good, he goes home feeling good instead of being contaminated from his patient, because One of the worst jobs in the world is what you people have. Because every day you walk into a reality of mental instability and you get contaminated. Then the next thing you know, you're getting a nervous breakdown. Or you're getting tired, or you're getting sick, or you're getting fed up. Because you don't understand the process of mind and thought. Now, with this, these incredible doctors, a lot of them are in here right today. There's a whole bunch here today. And there's people all over the world that are working on the psychology of mind. Then they will bring that peace and tranquility to their patients. Because all it is, it's nothing at all. All it is, very simple, that somewhere on the line, these doctors have found a better psychological approach that's ever been on the market before. How simple can you get? It's nothing special, it's just a better approach. But it's not a better approach which has been, stems from, say, the Freudian or the Jung or any other thing at all. It's a fresh approach. You know the feeling of when a patient lightens up and feels good? That's all those universities are for. They're trying to teach people to help people. And you can't deny what's been done. You know, when you mention about the Freudian theories and all this, they're dying. They're dying because it's a very natural thing they should die. Because they came up with an idea about mind. This idea set everybody on the path of there might be something to it. So you have to give them gratitude there. You have to thank them there. You have to be privileged that they've done this, they've set it off. But then the world evolves to a higher plateau of understanding, which makes whatever was said then medieval. And if you hang on to that medieval part, you'll never get anything new. You've got to evolve. And you evolve in mind. And if you evolve in mind, you evolve in everything. So you throw away the old. Honestly, it can never mix. It can never mix. Well, it's lunchtime, George.
let me say one more thing. See, you know, in a way, it's like the humanity got off on the wrong foot, you know? Like with Freud and Calvin. And humanity got the idea that people had to be protected from themselves and that we were basically up to no good. And that was the wrong foot. So everything that was born of that is contaminated forever, okay? This is a whole different footing. This is a footing that we all got off on the wrong foot, and had we known, we would have realized that people don't have to protect themselves from themselves, that they're by nature beautiful, wise people, and that the normal, really, before the fact, is mental health, and mental illness is after the fact. And that's the most important thing about what we've said is that fact. And once you see that fact, you breathe a sigh of relief that all you have to do is be yourself and you'll live a beautiful life. And the hardest thing for you therapists is you've got to see that this is not some synthesis or taking the best part out of all the other approaches. It's an entirely new basis. The old foundation of psychology was the same as the medical model, was doing battle with illness, okay? We've discovered, the therapist that uses this approach, we've discovered that there's a power to change in people that we refer to as spiritual. It's the power to change out of nothing, just the power to go on a higher level, to go to a deeper depth, to go to a level of understanding, and then that changes you across the board. And some of the therapists who are using this approach don't like that foundation. They'd rather talk as if this came from some evolution in the field of psychology, or a better mousetrap. They discovered a better mousetrap. They don't understand that it taps into a different human potential than this one does. That once it's tapped, it takes care of everything for us. And it's an entirely new foundation, and The field of psychology will build on this foundation. And that'll be psychology. When you're...
For many years there, and correct me if I'm wrong, who's Roger? You didn't get a degree in psychology, you got a degree in philosophy, right? And that's all we're talking about. Is your philosophy, my philosophy, her philosophy, that's what it is. Now there's a deeper thing than philosophy, and it's called theosophy. Now theosophy is your own intelligence, your own wisdom coming out, not a learned process, your own wisdom coming out. Now that's what's happened to the doctors that listen, they click into their own intelligence. That's all it is. Then the person finds their own intelligence. And it's not a philosophy anymore, it's theosophy. If you get a true theosophist, whether male or female, and put them into a university, and put them with a bunch of philosophers, psychologists, psychiatrists, doctors, all these type of people, at the end of the season, you would have geniuses in all fields. You know how long it takes to create a genius? A second. All you have to do is hear. Honestly, the simplicity of it all is mind-boggling. All it is a feeling. That quietness, that calmness that you've got now. That's all it is. And it's all thought. And that's your free will and your free mind. You take a choice. You take a choice in everything. You take a choice in religion. You take a choice what you're going to be in your workplace. True mind is the mastermind, which is God. The means of man, of humanity, are an illusion. They're minds, not mind. There's only one mind, only one. There can only be one mind, and that is God. There can only be one God, because God in true reality means total oneness. The Eastern religions talk about the allness, the oneness. The Christian religions say there can only be one God. And they're all correct, because they all mean the same thing. Because God is the allness of all things. And while you are separate, even in your mind, you've missed it. Pure consciousness, there can only be one consciousness. Any other consciousness that we know, or anything called consciousness, is just a creation from consciousness. This world is created from consciousness. But we wouldn't talk about people's consciousness, because you get all mixed up, because everybody's consciousness sees and hears differently. So we'll forget talking about people. If we talk at all, we talk about consciousness. You talk about mind, don't talk about other people's minds, because then again you have billions of ideas. That if you talk about mind, there's only one mind. The mind and the consciousness are the same, so you found that two things are already one. Then you talk about love, and there's only one love. Just love. Anything else you see out there, no matter what it is, regarding love, is a contamination again. So what you've got to do is you forget all about that, because again, you'd have billions of different ideas. Forget about it, go back to one, and what do you go back to? Just pure love. When you venture into higher degrees, life becomes a paradox. It's a metaphor. That's what life is. It's a divine metaphor. Unexplainable.
It truly can't have a beginning, it can't have an end, because it's the isness of all things. Your minds are connected to this isness, because your soul is the isness. The soul is pure consciousness. That's why you've already got what you're looking for. And if you seek any other place but within, then you're in the outside world. You look in the illusion to try and dissolve the puzzle of the illusion. Information that you're looking for, we call it wisdom. And if you find wisdom, what it does, it's like an antibiotic. And it works on your contaminated version of life. It's a feeling. It's a feeling that unravels the puzzle inside. When you see this, you start to drop habits. And these habits are the contaminated part of your life. That's why you go to church. That's why you go to your therapist, that people come to you. It's to try and uncontaminate them. And to uncontaminate them, you have to change the thoughts. So simple. I mean, that's not complicated. If you want to change your thoughts. If you want to change the way society is truly messing up the world by polluting it, killing each other, wars, needless suffering. Listen to the simplicity. All you have to do is change their thoughts. Just change thought. Thought is the secret ingredient. It's the missing link that humanity has been looking for since the beginning of time. It links the spiritual world and the material world. It links us with the creator of all things. It controls us, guides us, and honestly, there is only one thought. Only one thought. Can only be one thought. And from that one thought, that one divine thought, all other thoughts are created via us, all living creatures. All living creatures see life via thought. And thought is the bridge that links you with this intelligence. And thought, just like everything else, is an illusion, because there is only one thing, one thought, and the one thought is God, or the essence of all things, or the energy. There's another way to explain the energy of all things. See, take your choice. You take your choice. Everybody always takes a choice. And if you want to call this world, or what you call God, the energy of all things, then that's the very same thing. Only thing is changing is the word. It's the meaning behind the word. It is always the meaning behind the word. That's why they try to explain what I try to explain is a paradox. So the words are of no value. It's the same with many, many books. It's the word, it's just the guide. Behind the word lies the realization. To find the realization from the word to the realization, you must have a clear thought system. The thought system has to be clear, and the thought system is like a bridge between this and that. And you have to clear it. And to clear the bridge, you've got to get all your little personal thoughts and tuck them away and go into the state of meditation. then your bridge is clear. Then you will have a realization, because that, on the other side of the bridge, lies the wisdom you're looking for. And as you go up levels of consciousness, this would be like clearing the bridge. You know, when you're really down, you've really got the blues, and you feel life's all finished, that bridge would be packed solid. You'd never get through it. So you've got to get rid of whatever's stopping you from getting over that bridge. And all it is a pile of contaminated thoughts, creating illusions. And those illusions are standing in that bridge. And you have to see the illusion for what it is. And it vanishes. And then it happens again. And each time you do that, you get more wisdom to assist you down the way. Because naturally, the higher your level of understanding of life, the greater the help you have somewhere. It becomes easier. Because you see and feel less contamination in the world. Even though you see all the rights and wrongs, don't get me wrong, but it's not contaminating you. It's like if you have a real problem with your husband or your wife and you go to a therapist, and if the therapist says something to you that changes your life, then you're going to see from that moment on, if he says to you, you know what your trouble is, I see you two doing this, this or that, and they both click into it, and they both realize the stupidity of whatever they were doing that caused the trouble, when they go home, they're going to see a different reality because they got a touch of wisdom. They got their life uncontaminated a little bit, so then they have a better chance of having a better marriage and a better life right across the board. Not just in one piece, not one section of your life, but it's like you slip into another reality. And everybody here, and everybody in the world, absolutely everybody in the world, is contaminated. Everybody. Nobody escapes contamination. The very fact that you have form is a contamination. It's a degree. That's life. If you go to some place that's full of negativity, that's the feeling you're going to get. But look at life in a different way, a nicer way. And look for the goodness in life. And if there's enough goodness in life comes, believe me, it undoes the bad. Because they're two opposites. It's like love and hate. People say they're the same thing. They're not. They're two opposing poles. Love and hate is completely different. Love is an understanding, and hate is non-understanding. And it's that non-understanding of life, or the reality that you see, that creates the problem. Again, right from where we started, we're back to thought. On behalf of George and I, we would truly, truly like to thank you and feel super honored that people of your caliber would come and listen to us. Have a good time and lots of aloha. Thank you. Thank you.